Hey there, e-commerce enthusiasts. Let me tell you about a game changer in shipping, ShipStation. It's the ultimate platform for simplifying your shipping process. With ShipStation, you can easily import, manage, and ship your orders in no time. It integrates seamlessly with your favorite e-commerce platforms and carriers, ensuring a smooth workflow. Gain valuable insights with their powerful analytics and reporting tools. Say goodbye to shipping headaches. Visit stigmasandopenwounds.com/ship. And level up your shipping game today.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new Stigmas and Open Wounds. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
Eric's a little tired this morning.
A little bit.
Well, so I just want to let you guys know, this is our season two finale.
Woo.
We made it. So there is going to be a season three for anybody who was wondering. And season three is going to be a little bit different. Not much, but it's going to be a little bit different. And we'll talk just a little bit about that, but we'll talk a little bit more when season three comes. But yeah, so anybody who does like this, don't worry. It's not going to change so much. But anybody who wants a little bit of a change, don't worry, that's also coming. But it's not going to change so much that you're not going to want to listen, hopefully.
And I'm super, super excited
about the changes. I am very excited about the changes.
We really haven't figured it all out yet, but the plans we have right now are super, super exciting, at least for me.
Yeah, I would say they're very exciting for me. I mean, for the most part, what I would say is in season two, I'm very excited about how much I would say we opened up a lot more in season two than we opened up in season one. I mean, I did do some opening up in season one. You know, we had that that episode about where I talked about cutting, and you can't really talk about that without being open, obviously. But we really both opened up in season two. Like we say, we say that if you want to learn about us, just listen to our podcast. But I would say even in season three, it's really even more going to be shifted towards my life, towards your life. And I'm very excited about that shift. And but it's not going to be so much where you're just going to be like, are we just going to hear about your life? And it's not. But it's more going to be about what a neurodivergent's life is going to be or is about. But it's still going to have the content of what we have now. But it's going to really just focus on what the life is.
You weren't supposed to tell them what it was going to be about because we haven't hashed out the full plan.
Well, like I said,
it's going to be about, but yeah, that's along the baseline of what we're
thinking.
That's
kind of the baseline, but it's not even fully. But like I said, you're going to hear us open up even more so. And I'm just very excited about that because I really do honestly, I like opening up because I think the more that people like us open up, the more that we can start a dialogue. And that's what I'm excited about. So like I said, we really don't have the entire thing hashed out, but you're just going to hear us open up more is really what it is.
Yeah. And it allows us to talk a little bit about some of the other exciting things that are happening in our lives that don't, like, maybe our listeners don't realize this, but there's more to our life than just struggling with Tracy's mental illnesses.
Right. we talk about the traveling all the time, and over the break between season two and season three, part of the reason I stretched season two out a little bit, in case you didn't notice, is that over the break, we have a vacation going on. So it's going to be very nice. So you're actually going to hear this time about our vacation. We're going to do an episode about that. Mm. So more people are going to hear about those vacations. I told Eric, I said, each night we're actually going to do a little bit of a diary, each of us, so that we can put that into an episode. Mm. So I think that's just very exciting because not everybody gets to or wants to go on these vacations. And maybe this will make people understand how cool some of these places are and why you would want to go to some of these places. And I think that's pretty cool because, I mean, I think back to some of these places that I've been to. Like recently, I was thinking about when we were in Portugal, in one of the places we stayed, just reminded me of a Hobbit house where it had brick flooring. And I accidentally ran the hair dryer while something else was running. Eric had his computer plugged in and I knocked out the electricity. So then he had to walk out in the hallway and he found where the thing
breaker
to turn
box.
The breaker box. Thank you. And he was in his boxers and he's like, well, I met our neighbor and I was in my boxers. And luckily Eric's just got that very nonchalant attitude. I'm just laughing. But I just remember that house just reminded me of a cute little Hobbit house. And I loved it. Mm. So, I mean, because it was kind of a house apartment type, and it just those little experiences are just fun, and I think being able to tell people about that is kind of cool. So, you know, we can tell our struggles, but then we can tell about things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be really fun.
It'll be a more of a full scope thing.
Exactly
where you get the bad and the good and everything in between. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and we can talk about how recently we started going ghost hunting and
everybody's hiking. everybody's like unsubscribe.
Yeah, they're like ghost hunting. No, but it's great because Eric has some high school friends that we reconnected with, and he was always part of this group where it was kind of like I call it like if you ever watched Rudolph, which many people have, and they have the Island of Misfit Toys. They were always the misfit groups in high school where if you didn't belong, you just kind of went to this group. And I recently told his mom, I said, I don't know if you realize, but Eric did a very good job in high school making friends because they have just such good heads on their shoulders. Because, yeah, you hear ghost hunting and it sounds ridiculous, but one of these friends is a mental health specialist. One of these friends, she works at,
The Salvation Army,
yeah. And she has a son who is now bipolar, ADHD, and she, you know, she took the time to really, really stay home with him and understand him. And I mean, all these people, you know, I get to act myself around them and I'm loving it. And I think that's what's really important is when you get to find these people that you can be yourself around. And I can say, like recently this weekend, I was supposed to go hiking and I said, my migraine didn't clear up. And then Eric told him, and then the one girl was like, I had a 3-month migraine one time. And it makes me feel good because she didn't just say, migraine. You know, she just said, I had a 3-month migraine one time. So she understood. Mm-hmm. So it's just really interesting when you can find, you know, your groups of people. So it'll be really fun if we can start talking about stuff like that.
Definitely.
So.
But on to the end of the first season rather than forecasting the third season or the second season. Whatever.
The third.
I'm like, all my brain's not working right. Yeah. Like, apparently.
Like so. I said, Eric's tired today. Usually I'm the tired one. So we're just going to look back at some of the episodes of this past season and see if we want to touch on any of them. And the first one that we made a fatal flaw on forgetting something was the last episode that we talked about with the pets. We completely forgot to mention one of our favorite dogs that we have met.
And actually, now something just else popped into my head. Did we mention Spooks?
My goodness, we never mentioned Spooks. She was the best cat. We actually have a picture of Spooks in our bedroom.
So this is kind of a prelude to the travel stuff because both of these were
pets that we met on travels. So because whenever we are away from our cats, we end up meeting pets like dogs and stuff. So like in South America, there tends to be a lot of dogs around, and the first cat that we ever met was on our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about, do you want to talk about Spooks since you brought her up?
Well, Spooks was just we were staying at a resort. We were on an island called St. Eustatius, which is in the Caribbean, small island.
Yep, you have to go to St. Martin in order to go.
Yeah, it's so small that they don't fly directly from the U.S. or anything to get there. And another ironic story with that one is that when we were going through customs at St. Martin, the customs agent looked at our paperwork or whatever and said, "Oh, you're going to be in St. Eustatius for 7 days." And we're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, we'll see you back here in 2.
Yeah, because we were in our 20s at the time, and it was right around spring break time. So I think he thought that we were young and wanted a party. Yeah. And we're just, you know, we're just a laid back couple, and we wanted to explore the island and have a nice honeymoon. And
yeah. Yes, and we did not wind up back on St. Martin until we were ready to fly home. And I had no intention of ever going back to St. Martin. But the story of Spooks is that on a resort, the resort basically had like a little sitting area, and I can't remember, it probably had like a swimming pool.
There was a swimming pool, because I remember Scotty cleaning it every morning and singing.
And we would go down at night when we got back at the end of the night, we'd go down and we'd sit there, and there was like a little self-serve bar, so you just got yourself a beer and
wrote down what you
drank. So we would sit down, have a beer. And every night that we went out there, there was a black cat that would come and hang out with us while we were sitting there. And the guy that ran our resort called the cat Blackie, which we thought was really dumb.
We didn't actually find this out until the last day that he called it Blackie.
Yeah.
But otherwise we would have called it Blackie, but we called it Spooks because I just thought that was a really rad name for it. I don't know. And
so this cat would just come hang out with us for forever and just sit around on the couch while we sat out and had our beer and did whatever we were doing before we went to bed. And it was like clockwork every night.
Yep.
I mean, if we went down there and Spooks didn't pop his head out, we would be like, "What's going on here?" So, and then I remember the very last night that we were there, Tracy said, "Oh, Spooks, do you want to come back to the United States with us?" And Spooks just, his head popped up and he just took off running, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, she did not want to come back to the States with us. I said, "Spooks, you want to come with us back to the States?" And she just ran. And the funny thing, too, is she was missing the tip of her ear. And we found out the next morning when we talked to Scotty, the guy who ran the resort, he said, he goes, "Yes, she got in a fight with a rooster.
Yeah. So that was the other perk of our resort was every morning we woke up to the roosters. Is it crowing or
and
whatever?
And I hated it. Then the last morning I was like, "Oh, I'm going to miss these guys."
So that was one of the glorious pets on a trip. You want to talk about Hippie?
Yeah. So one of the most recent ones, we went to Ecuador this past year. No, last year, doesn't really matter. And at one of our hotels, a bunch of us stayed. We were kind of on a tour group, and a bunch of us stayed in the same hotel, and one girl stayed across. And we were going to go to a lagoon hike. And the night before, we all kind of went out for a little smoke, and this dog came and was smoking with us. I don't know if you remember that Hippie was actually out there smoking with us. Like, he just liked that hotel. And I was like, "Oh, what a sweet dog." And then that morning when we were going to go on the lagoon hike, he was there. So he walked with us to the lagoon and walked down. And then all of a sudden we ended up meeting up with another dog who I eventually named Kamikaze. Now, the reason I named Hippie is because he had this little mat and it looked like a dreadlock. So I said, he's a hippie. And Kamikaze, he would all of a sudden disappear. And then he'd be on the highest peak. And I'm like, "You are going to hurt yourself. You're a Kamikaze dog." And then all of a sudden he'd come back down and be like, "What the heck, dog?" But he wasn't biased at the end. But when we climbed up from the lagoon, it was such a steep hike. And I was getting tired. It was getting rainy. And so then Hippie would hike up with Eric, and they'd get a little bit higher up. So then Eric would sit down with Hippie. And then all of a sudden, they'd see me. And Hippie apparently would get so excited. and then that would make me excited because I'd see this dog get so excited for me. Mm. And really, everybody who was on that hike, I don't think Tina was on that hike. It was just you, me, and another couple.
Yeah.
But we would all take pictures with this dog. We were all talking about how we were going to buy him food after. I think we ended up only getting crackers. But then, like, the other couple was going to get him sausages. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we were all just so enthralled with this dog. And I know that your father-in-law was like, well, that's why he's hiking with you, because he's going to get food. Like, I don't care. He made the hike so much better. I mean, without him, I would have died. So yeah, I mean, after recording last week, we're like, dang it, we forgot to talk about Hippie. Because that was one of our best dogs ever. I mean, and I'm not even joking. If I could have brought him home, I would have brought him home.
He definitely would have needed a bath, but...
Yeah, and we would have had to give him a new dreadlock. But yeah, I loved that dog so, so much. Not even joking.
And it just goes to show, like... So, in both situations that we're talking about here... These, if there had not been that pet, these still would have been extraordinary
right.
Experiences in our lives. But those two pets made so much better. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is you can't talk about the lagoon without bringing up Hippie.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about St. Eustatius without bringing up...
Right.
Spooks.
Spooks,
yeah.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it was kind of jokingly, but it was kind of because Spooks was such a big heart, I put a little picture of Spooks in our room because it was like Spooks became our pet. And I really should put a picture of Hippie in our room because Hippie was just such a sweetheart. I loved Hippie.
And this reiterates one of the biggest things I think I've really, really come to truly, truly understand in the past year. And that's that it is the most insignificant thing that makes a memory great.
It's true. You know? It is very true. And that's why when we go on vacations now, we don't always try to do the biggest things. We just try to enjoy little things. Like, we're like, one of the last trips that we did, like Guatemala, we're like, where do we get the best lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
I love that now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And those are the things that you're going to remember. It's going to be such inconsequential, simple, almost dumb things that stick with you, like we will never forget Spooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's been 13 years
since we've been to St. Eustatius, and Spooks, we still have a picture of Spooks down on our table, for God's sake.
Yeah, so our cats try to knock it over out of jealousy, but
so and yeah, it's just been, that's just a big eye-opener, and it goes back to the point of like, so yeah, a lot of our really, really good stories come from traveling internationally.
But you don't have to.
But they could have just as easily happened right here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's those things that make it memorable.
Right.
It's Hippie. It's Spooks. It's whatever. Right. Whatever little thing happens on a trip,
yep,
that just always sticks with you.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So
now I'll go through a couple other episodes. And now this one's going to be a little bit sadder. So one of the earlier episodes we talked about this season, in episode 2, we talked about, it's called What Is This Thing Called Depression? And this one's important to talk about because it turns out that I had no idea that I was suffering from depression at some point this year. And who knows, maybe at that point I was actually suffering from depression.
Mm.
But I actually... I don't know if you remember, but there was a point where all of a sudden I was like, shit, Eric, I'm depressed and I don't know, you know, what to do. I knew what to do, but there just became a point where I was like, I don't know the last time I was happy. And I had to go to my doctor and just be like, so here's the thing, you know, we need to do something. And now I'm actually just really, really pretty happy I was going to say a significant basis, but a regular basis. And that's really important to mention because, you know, here I am and I'm thinking that I'm at one of the best points of my life. And all of a sudden I'm just like, well, I'm depressed. How did this happen? And I think that's important to note because you can just get depressed whenever for whatever reason. And, you know, I don't know why I got depressed. It just happened. I mean, I'm bipolar. These things happen. And it might have just been building for a while. So I think that's just something to know that, you know, we can all get depressed. We're all victims. It happens. It can happen to all of us. And we need to keep an eye on that. And we're not weak because of that. And so yeah. And if you're wondering, I'm doing a lot better now. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I still have days. I mean, recently I was just like, oh, this isn't a great day. But yeah, for the most part, I'm doing so much better. And the winter, you know, we'll see. Right now I haven't had the winter blues yet, so hey.
And it's really kind of a frightening thing to realize that how many people out there are experiencing exactly that, where they are depressed and they don't even realize it because...
Right,
because
it took me a while to realize.
It's just their normal. You know, yeah. like they don't really know what, or they've forgotten what it feels like to be happy.
Right.
Well, so they don't even realize how depressed they truly are.
Well, it's interesting because you brought up something last night where even my happy might even be lower than somebody else's, like
And I'm sure it is.
And I think I do have some days where I'm just extremely high and it probably matches somebody's high. But I think my normal good days are probably just lower than somebody's good days. And that's fine. I just might run lower than somebody and that's fine. You just need to know where you run and need to know what's an acceptable level for you. But honestly, right now I'm perfectly cool with where I'm at. I'm happy. And yeah, I'm actually just very happy with where I'm at. I'm very happy. Yeah.
And everything we just talked about, it always, yeah, I have to go back to my childhood and think of there's a song by Nirvana called Dumb.
I love that song. And it's so, the words in it are so perfect.
Right. In the words, one of the main lines in the song is, I think I'm dumb or maybe just happy.
Right.
And obviously that's him struggling with the concept that he being happy to him was so foreign.
Right.
He didn't know if he was just being really stupid or he was having the idea that, wait a minute, maybe this is just what happy is.
Right.
You know? And that's really, 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 really scary that can happen to a person.
Right.
Because, you know, how do you fix something that you don't even realize is wrong with you? And it's obviously going to affect you.
Right.
And like you said, you now realize how depressed you were back then. So that was affecting you, even though you weren't even that sure that you were depressed.
Right. Well, and I've had some days where I'm like really happy and I'm like, oh man, I'm like really happy today. This is weird, you know, and it is really weird, you know, and it's kind of weird that I almost have to have those days. But that's just my life, and you know, it's just kind of what I've come to deal with, I guess, because that's what I've come to deal with my migraines. Like, ooh, I'm having a good day today. So, you know, we all have our things that we've learned to adjust with. So yeah, because like I know like we've talked about, it's Maya Mbial, like, who played Blossom, and obviously a bunch of other characters. She said she runs lower than everybody else, but she just knows where she runs.
Yeah, and I think that people are going to have that issue where your spirits are just going to be lower than maybe some other people's spirits. But I think being able to tell that and know puts you miles ahead of everybody else because if you get more sensitive about something, you understand why you're being more sensitive than other people because of, well, my mood is just that much lower than the average person.
Right. And it kind of goes with the whole neurodivergent thing. We're not all the same. So we're not all going to feel things at the same level. And so yeah. Now we're going to hop to episode 4. You said that was your favorite episode, self-acceptance. How happy are you? Do you know why you said that was your favorite? You said this was one of your favorites. You have another favorite, but...
Yeah, I mean, just the general topic of it is like reflecting on how happy you are. Because I think that a lot of people in the world, they don't they don't ever take that time to reflect on that and figure out, you know, am I really happy? Where am I at? What can I do to make myself more happy?
Because it kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, really.
Yeah, it really does. And I think that people need to take the time. And I would argue that taking the time to figure out what makes you happy is probably one of the most important things you can do in your life. And, you know, everybody
That's kind of what life is about. You need to be happy. You have one life. I mean, arguably one physical life here.
Right. And other than you being happy, what is the purpose of your life?
Right. That's I figured.
Really
That's...
reflect on it and think about it. You're going to be gone eventually. Mm-hmm. Everybody that knows you is going to be gone eventually. So, I mean, why not make the best of what you got?
That's what I figure.
And the best way to do that, and I think most people spend most of their life trying to fight to become more successful and stuff like that to get that happiness. And another thing that I think I've learned in the past year is that those two things are not interconnected whatsoever. Your happiness is completely separate from any status you have in life. You know, there are people that are extremely, extremely successful at the top of their game and are horrifically unhappy. I mean, just look at, we brought up Nirvana before, Kurt Cobain. Obviously, could Kurt Cobain have reached an any higher level of success than he did?
Right. And that didn't make him happy. I mean, that actually might have made him more upset. Actually, example is Heath Ledger. He said he never wanted to be a big success, and then he became a big success. And then what happened to him?
He became a drug addict, and I mean, there the Chester Bennington of Linkin Park.
Yes, I mean, that was so sad.
You couldn't have had a better life. Chris Cornell of Soundgarden or Velvet Revolver, or whatever the other band he was in.
But then it all becomes.
I don't think he was in. No, Audio Slave. That's what he was in.
But it all depends on what you say is a success. Mm-hmm. They might not consider it a success. You know, you asked me the other day, do you consider yourself rich, or when do you consider yourself rich? And I said, well, I consider myself rich right now because I'm the happiest I've been. But then other people say, I don't consider myself rich because I know somebody richer in terms of money than me.
And I think that's a huge part of reshaping everybody's mind, because I think everybody, if they took the focus off of success and the things that we as a society measure as being successful, if we stopped worrying about that and worried more about our just individual happiness, everybody would be much happier. So,
yeah. Now, one of the other ones we have on here is the stigma against traveling. I think we were kind of talking about traveling already.
Yeah, and I mean,
I was going to say,
I picked that one too as well, and I picked that one just because, I mean, I think that traveling is probably the most underappreciated thing that people have out there in the world.
Personally,
like, people constantly are making excuses for why they can't travel.
Right. Personally, I think it's one of the best ways to learn. I think that's one of the biggest ways that I have learned in the past how many years. It's the ways that I've learned how to change some of the ways that I've lived, grow.
Right.
It's just everything.
I mean, so many things positive come from just the act of seeing the way the rest of the world lives is so powerful, and especially if you get the opportunity to talk to those people and really, really learn.
That's my favorite thing. Honestly, one of my most favorite things is not even when we go to some of the big things. It's just when we slow down and when we watch the culture. So that's my favorite thing is taking in the culture, because I just want to see the people. And, you know, when I say I want to eat the food so that I can take in the culture, that's part of it. But when I just want to see them make the tortillas, and that's so much fun too, watching them make the tortillas. But just watching them in their culture is just the greatest thing.
That episode, I just think that if anybody that would pick up this podcast and know me and say, which episode should I listen to? That's one of the first episodes I would refer him to, just because I think that traveling is misunderstood. People think it's so expensive, blah, 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 that it's out of the reach of most people, and it I can right. almost assure you that it is not. Maybe the amount that we travel is not feasible for people, but there is no reason why anybody out there cannot take at least one trip a year if they are committed and want to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the other part of it is, too, is that another big thing I've learned, and this has probably been in the last 2 years, but you always think that when anybody travels, when they first start traveling, they think it's all about seeing sights.
We've changed how we've traveled because we've learned that it's not all about that. Obviously, there's some sites that you're like, oh, yeah, I got to see this, but no.
And there's some sites you want to see, and I'm not telling anybody not to go see things because I've seen some cool stuff. Was it in Cartagena when we went to the pink river or lake or whatever?
Oh, yeah,
remember?
Where
else are you going to see that? Where are you going to sit in a volcano and I don't know, just get gross? But it was cool. I mean, it was an experience.
Right.
But when it all comes down to it, just being there, seeing how they live, seeing the difference between their society and our society, to me, that's much bigger.
Right.
Than
just actually watching somebody rebuild a house and seeing them hoist it up with like a pulley and rope instead of actually using machinery and say, you know what, they're actually using their own force instead of, you know, being, I don't want to say lazy, but they do things different there. And it's fun watching that.
Yeah. And I didn't do this on our upcoming trip because I've just been so busy. But like on our previous trips, like to Guatemala and Portugal, I actually went out and actively like listened to podcasts with people that travel.
To
learn about some of the things they think are great to go see in those places. And one of the things I learned is that it seems to me that people that travel a lot, they develop that, it's slow travel mentality, where you're more about just experiencing the place rather than worrying about five viewpoints you need to see
in
this
that's what country. I always kind of had and... as opposed to you, it seemed like.
Right. And the big thing is that I've realized with that, okay, so this is not just us being weird.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people enjoy this kind of travel. And I've also realized that by doing this kind of travel, that even makes your traveling cheaper.
That does make sense because you're not booking
trips. Because tours are not cheap, to travel all over an entire country is great. It is expensive, but I mean, like we've gone to large cities. Like the number one I always think of is like Quito.
Yeah,
and Quito, like we looked up and found the five best neighborhoods in Quito.
That was so much fun,
and we just jumped. We spent 3 days in one neighborhood, 3 days in another neighborhood, 3 days in another neighborhood. And that was so much fun because it felt like you were in three different places.
Right.
Because you got to experience completely different.
Right.
Because
Quito is so big. So we really got to experience the different areas of Quito. And yeah.
Yeah. And that's just, it's an experience that you can never replace. And like,
it really is.
Like when we were in Bogota and we went to, the big park. It was like the central park of Bogota. And this park was huge, but it was amazing just to see. Because people would come out into this park the weekend and they would pitch their tent and they would spend the entire day there with their kids just hanging out in the park. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is the most incredible thing I ever seen. And most people probably wouldn't even think to go to that because they're too busy needing to hike up this certain peak.
Right. And like next time we go to Bogota, I want to do that instead of hiking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking the tram, which we never did, but like there's like a little tram or whatever that you can take up to the mountains, you know, and like I'd rather go to the park and pitch a tent.
I mean, so it's just like traveling is so misunderstood, and I think that I think a huge part of it is that I think a lot of people are just intimidated by it because it is work to put together a trip.
It is. It's scary.
But yeah, and it's just scary.
It's scary, you know, you take the
prospect of going to another country and stuff like that. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And I think that anybody that hasn't tried it once has to try it. Now, mm-hmm. I will fully agree that there are people out there that probably will not like traveling because yeah. there's people that out there that don't like everything.
Right.
Now, I mean, not one person doesn't like everything,
but there's
always somebody that dislikes something.
It goes along with how we say with reading, you have to find the right book and then you'll, mm-hmm. then you like reading. And, you know, because for me, once I found the right book series and then I got into reading and I just couldn't stop. Well, once you find the right place to visit, you know, we really love South America. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's places in Europe that I would go back to. Like Portugal was great, you mm-hmm. know, and I would easily go to Spain. It's just, I don't like the whole jet lag. But
massive jet lag.
Oh, so. God, that was horrible. I would do it, but I love South America. But anyway, so let's go on to the next one because we could talk up.
Yeah, we could talk. Episode. I can talk traveling for the rest of our lives.
So we both also really liked the whole living the whole life or living your own life, obviously. And if we have anything else to talk, I don't know if we have anything to touch on to add to that one. But yeah, I mean, again, we just both really
living your own life. So basically, is that an episode we did about basically just doing what's right for you
mm-hmm.
type thing? Yeah. And again, like, I feel like in the last year or 2 years, my focus on life has changed a lot and has really pushed towards that where I feel like for the first 38 years of my life, I was chasing something. And now I've just stopped chasing that thing and just am content with that, hey, looking around at my life and saying, these are the things that are cool.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do more of that.
Exactly. And I've always tried to do a lot of things. Like, I didn't want to do the popular thing. But in the same sense, I always did a lot of things that society wanted me to do because that's just what you do.
And now I
really don't want to do what society wants me to do.
No, but I want to be clear with that because that's just us. We're like rebels. We have our own way and stuff like that. If you're very happy, don't not do something because everybody else is doing it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't do something
because everybody else is doing it.
It doesn't
make you happy.
Yeah, I mean, let's get this right. I mean, a lot of people are making podcasts and we're making a podcast. So
Right. So, I mean, but we're doing it because we enjoy doing it. And that's why most people don't make it past episode 3 of a podcast. And we're on what episode? Probably 53 right now?
Probably something like that. Yeah, at least.
So, I mean, so it's not about not doing things that other people do.
Yeah,
but it's about things everybody else is doing. Just do it because you want to do it and not because you think that's what you're supposed to do, or you think because everybody else is doing it that it's going to make you happy. Because a little heads up, there is a large amount of the population that is not happy.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something because a lot of people are doing it to try and be happy, chances are it's probably not going to work because a lot of people are not happy. So
right. Yeah, I mean, and I did this for a lot of my life because I didn't know where I was going, you know, I didn't know. And now I'm really trying to figure out my life and God, that's making me so much happier doing what I think I should do or what I want to do, I mean. And yeah, it's great. So just do it. And I mean, and obviously within limits, keep yourself safe and mm-hmm. out of jail.
Don't you should not violate laws, but there are plenty of things that I mean, when we were hiking this weekend, I haven't even told Tracy this, but we were talking about it. It sounded like one of the girls I was hiking with, her, they did a lot of roller skating for a period of time.
They really are perfect for us.
So we kind of got onto that diatribe of roller skating, and And I talked about how we used to do it all the time, mm-hmm. too. And
did
and
they do the moonlight skate together?
No, because I don't think, I only think one of them really did it. So just stupid things like that, like, that's a lot of fun. And people would look at us cross-eyed when we said we would do that once a week or something like that. You know, and I mean, in my opinion, that's just a shame.
It is.
And we do it anyways, but I think that that's something you have to build up to be able to do it, because most people, because people their age don't do that, they just outrightly dismiss it.
Right. Well, it's like when we were building the sandcastles on the beach, a lot of people would look at us and then we'd be like, I think that one's jealous because they don't have kids that they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But some people, I think, were looking at us weird, and then the other half were looking at us like, oh man, they have balls. So, yeah.
And I mean, so what when something is fun for you as a child, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to be a lot of fun for you as an adult.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, think about that.
I remember one thing that I very much remember is that we had a couple, we have some friends that have kids, and their kids are very much grown now. But for the first child, the first birthday, he said, Eliana would very much like play blocks. And when he said this, he meant Dan would very much like play blocks. which is just very funny, because it's like when you have kids, you could say, well, this is what I would like. But, you know, so.
Right. And it's just an important thing to keep in mind that like, all of these things are still available to you. And think about, like, roller skating. Like, I don't know about everybody else, but when I was a kid and I went roller skating, I think my parents probably would have given me the money to get in, and that's about it. Now, as an adult,
I would take my kids, man.
You could. Well, I don't think my mom ever took us roller skating, but. Maybe
I think,
when we were
oh, my mom young. Took me.
But either way, like, my mom would give us the money to get in, and that's pretty much about it. Now, as an adult, you can go over and play all the video games you mm-hmm. want. And I mean, so it's even probably going to be a better experience now as an adult, because you can do whatever you want. You're not limited by mm-hmm. anything. So these are just things to think about, where if there's something that made you really, really happy when you were a kid, maybe that's something to reinvestigate and see if it's something you should explore as an adult, too. So
it brings back that serotonin from being a kid, I promise you. It really does. But I do have something to add to another episode, is boundaries. So when we were hiking with our friends one of the past weekends, I was actually talking to one of them about boundaries. She actually does some counseling. And this was a very, very interesting one, because she was our friend. She was talking about how she has to work on boundaries. And I thought, this is really interesting, because as somebody who is, I feel like she's well established, and she, I feel like she's maybe higher up than I am and everything, that she still has to work on boundaries. And I'm like, wow, this is really interesting for me. I'm like, we had a whole episode on boundaries, and she has to work on boundaries. So she used to work at the jail by us, and she told me that she wanted some of the hard cases, and she did some counseling and everything. And she was like, I would like some of the harder cases, because I would like to work on boundaries and everything. And she had a guy who, I think he had some, either, I believe it was rape. Mm-hmm. And he would do a lot of things to her. Like, he would make a lot of just comments to her. And so she had to work on boundaries with him. And she's just like, okay, so if you continue to make any comments, like physical comments to me or all of this, then our sessions are over. No more. And she's like, when I was in that job, I had to learn so many boundaries with him, with all these other people. And I thought, this is impressive, because, you know, she actually used this job to build up her boundaries. And I thought, this is a really, really great idea for her. Because one, this is somebody who needed to build up boundaries, who I thought, you know, she's she's higher up, but everybody needs to build up boundaries at some point in their life. And then she actually figured out a way to build up boundaries. And I thought, wow, this is a really great technique for her. Good on her. Like, she knew it. And then she's like, here, do this for me so I can build up boundaries.
And
so, wow.
And I think you're also overlooking something else that's very powerful about that story.
She just tossed herself in.
Is that, no, that, you know, she had a job. And she looked at her job and said, how can I leverage this job to make me a better person?
And I respect her so much for that.
And think about it. How much better was her job probably? Because she not only knew she was drawing a paycheck from... She was not only drawing a paycheck. Yeah, she's a counselor, so she's helping people.
And she's but then beyond that, better.
She's also improving herself as a person. And maybe... Maybe a lot of us out there would like our jobs a lot more if we approached it with the same philosophy of, okay, this is what I do at my job. How can I leverage this job to make my life better? Or maybe when you're looking for a new job, think about a job that I want to be good at this. So what job could I get that's going to help me with those skills?
Absolutely. Plus, it made her personal life better because now she's got some more boundaries within her personal life, within her job, within everything. So now she's got some better boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, good job. Good on you for knowing that you needed to build up boundaries and using that, because she just threw herself to the wolves and was just like, you know, she's got this guy who's just like, you got beautiful eyes, you know, and she's just like, no.
Right. And the guy's been convicted of rape. So top of that. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, she's got all this going, and then she's like, yeah, I got to build up boundaries here. Give me your worst cases. You know, it's just like, give me your medium cases. Give me your hardest cases. I got to build up boundaries. Like, wow, you are insane. I mean, and she's a tough cookie, but that was insane of her to do. So I give her credit. And so I was like, okay, I got to touch on that when we come around to episodes, because that was crazy. Because when she told me that, I was like, well, we talked about boundaries, but that's some really crazy stuff. Good on you. Okay. And then I also want to touch on the stigma against or around aging. We talked a lot about women in that episode. For some reason, I completely blanked out men in that episode. And we happened to be watching a show either during or after that had some good men in it that we talked about that are really amazing as they got older. One of them being John Hamm.
John Hamm is hilarious as an old guy.
I think he is so much better as he got older. And the other one,
Ted Danson.
Yeah, I'm always like, it starts with a T. The other one is Ted Danson. Yes. But both of them, I think it's like they don't care about being like their looks. They're like, I'm just going to be funny as I got older.
Well, and seriously, I think. Well,
and they're still good looking.
Yeah.
And they're just funny.
I think Ted Danson is way funnier now than he ever was.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, I have no problem with Cheers, but Ted Danson was not somebody that lit up Cheers.
But I think that they were trying to be like, let's put him in the tight jeans and make him the sex guy. And there's both Ted Danson and John Hamm are still very good looking now, but they're hilarious too. Right. And I like that. They've hit the point where they're like, cool. I'm just going to give it my all and not care. They're kind of where we're at now, where they're like, if I look good, cool. If I don't, whatever. I'm just going to give it my all and not care.
And especially since like John Hamm, like I think everybody knows John Hamm from Mad Men.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff I've seen him in now, because now he's like the goofy guy.
Yeah. Oh, you know, my God. Like when he was in Good Omens, he is season two. Oh my God, that was his best performance I've ever seen him in, I think.
And then do you remember the show he was in where with Daniel Radcliffe or whatever?
I was going to say that
Harry Potter for everybody so who doesn't know his name, but he was hilarious in that.
Yeah.
And it's just like as he's gotten older, it seems like he found his niche much better than he did in his youth.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think it's because when these two were younger, they're like, well, you guys are good looking, so this is what we're going to use right now.
Their abilities as actors may have been overshadowed by the fact that they were good looking people. So they were cast in roles to use them as a good looking person. Whereas once you strip that away and don't use them that way, mm-hmm. you realize how talented they are as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem it is what it is. It's almost like when you're good looking, it's, I don't want to say it's a shame, but it's just like people look at you and they're like, you're so cute. You're so pretty. And then they want to like use you for that. But then it's like, you have to work twice as hard to show like I'm more than that. I'm more than a good face.
And just as far as aging goes, I probably did say this in the first time we did the episode. I apologize. Can't remember everything that was said in every episode. But one other thing, I mean, embrace aging, man, because I'm waiting. But as of right now, I think getting older just keeps getting better and better.
Well, it's so true. Like I said, with our friends that we go hiking with, we're having so much fun because they're in their 40s and they talk about it because we asked them and they said, yeah, this is the best. And we have a friend too that's kind of in that group. His girlfriend is not 40 yet. And she's like, I gotta hang out with you guys for my 40th because I don't know. I'm nervous. Gotta
figure out how to be a 40-year-old. And it does. I mean, other than the fact that your body starts to ache.
My body's been aching, but life, yeah, it's getting worse.
Life rules, man. It's so much fun. And I think you, at least I have, you drop a lot of the expectations that you have for yourself.
Yeah.
I think you stop trying to achieve something and just start enjoying life. Mm-hmm. Which, in all honesty, I mean, I assume that just comes with us growing up and stuff like that. But,
I think so. I mean,
but I wish it would have happened for me at 25. You know, that I realized that everything I thought I wanted or felt like I should have didn't really matter.
Agreed. You know? And that's what happened to me too.
So
yeah, I think this is kind of the right spot for me. And I do think that part of what happened to us too was that we did this podcast. So you and I figured out a lot of stuff. And that helped us.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to say how much it helped and things like that, but you got to imagine that getting up and talking, we're just basically talking to each other with microphones in front of us, but still, forcing ourselves to even do that, because a lot of these conversations that we have on these podcasts, most people never have because they're pretty heavy.
We're working a lot of stuff out. And either way, I'm doing some research to figure some stuff out. And would I have done this either way? Probably not. Would I have figured out what neurodivergent means? No. And if I'm being really honest, I was going to come to it. That was one of my favorite episodes because that's partially where we're going to end up taking season 3 is where a life of, you know, I'm a neurodivergent. And because it turns out that's kind of the term that I'm using to describe myself because I have multiple things. So then, you know, when I do something, I'm like, oh, that's my, you know, my bipolar. That's my this. I'm like, I'm just neurodivergent, you know, and it turns out like I like that because we're all different. We're neurodivergent and it's better than saying, hey, we're this. And I like that. I really like that. And that's why we took 2 episodes to figure this out. We'll probably touch on it again in season 3 because it is so different. And, you know, I think you said that you came across another book that we may or may not read, depending on what it looks like. And yeah, I think really that's...
I got to remember where I found that book. I wonder if I have it on my list. Crap. Well, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. But
I'm sure they'll, if I can't find that book, another one will come up because this is a very talked about subject. So
either way, I think that was a really important two episode series that we did. And I think that's just going to become something that we continue to talk about. And would we have really, we would have probably talked a little bit about that, just you and I, but we really dove into that because of this. And so,
and I really like having the term, I think learning the term neurodivergent really changed everything for me, because it really changes the way I looked at people with any sort of condition that we define as abnormal today.
Because it's not abnormal.
Right. It's opened my eyes to the idea of that like maybe there isn't anything wrong with that person. Maybe they're just different. And maybe the problem is us, because we're not willing to accept them for who they are and learn how to embrace them. And I think that that's going to become something. I don't think that movement has gotten the traction. It hasn't gotten to the level where it's really got traction, but when it does,
I think it's going to be really great. There's going
to
be
a lot of uproar and a lot of like changes that need to be made to our society, mm-hmm. because I mean, this is literally no different than racism.
Yeah.
You are really, picking a person out for an abnormal personality trait and isolating them and you know, not giving them the same opportunities that everybody else does, which is a crying shame.
That is true.
And that movement is going to gain ground. And
it's probably going to be like something like we've been held down for how long, and now there's going to be all of a sudden an uproar. Yeah. I mean, so it's going to be great when it does take hold in many ways, but then, it is going to be an uproar.
It's going to be a turbulent time.
There's going to be a lot of friction.
Yeah, there is. And understand when I say this to anybody that maybe doesn't agree with me or thinks I'm full of crap. And it's like, that's okay. Because like I said, this is only something I've realized very recently. And I certainly don't expect everybody to agree with it.
Right.
But I do think that there is something there where, you know, we need to stop treating these people like they have some sort of malfunction, because they mm-hmm. don't.
Right, because so many people can do so many good things with what they have. There's just a flaw in other, whether you want to call it a flaw, but there's other things. But again, other people that you want to call normal, maybe they have things that they can't do either.
Yeah, and just remember, when you see somebody that's may seem to do something odd to you or seem to be maybe slower, that they excel in things that you are terrible at, mm-hmm. and you just don't realize it. And you make the defense to me on why, just because something you realize is different about them, they might struggle with some basic thing that you're used to normal, like everybody being able to do without a problem. But then they excel at three other things and just blow everybody else out of the water. You tell me how that person has a mental deficiency. That doesn't make sense to me, you know? And and to call them, like, to have a disorder, what an inappropriate term.
I think part of the reason they say disorder, though, is so that they can charge it, which is silly. So,
but anyways,
yeah,
enough down that rabbit hole.
I was going to say, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but to kind of wrap things up, this season, I feel like, again, like last season, I have grown leaps and bounds, like whether it's been because of this podcast, whether it's because I've aged another year, I've become more confident. I have figured more things out about myself. I'm actually starting to be more calm. It's weird. But I'm more comfortable with myself. I'm kind of figuring out who I am a little bit more, because I'm kind of have to do that. But yeah, it's been an interesting season, and I think we'll do a little bit more about that next season. But yeah, do you have anything that you want to talk about that kind of reflecting on the season that maybe have you grown? And
well, one of my biggest questions was going to be how much you've grown, because I remember how dramatically you grew in the first season of this. Like, I was blown away.
Yeah, I think I grew hugely, because I think I have grown leaps and bounds, because I figured out, obviously, like I said, that I was depressed. And then we figured out that I am neurodivergent in multiple different ways. So then I'm figuring out, okay, so was this my personality? Was I just putting on a face in how many different situations? So then I'm like, okay, so what is actually part of my personality? What is me putting on a face? So now I'm figuring out where is my personality? And that's actually been a little bit more fun than I thought, because I'm just like, I'm just going to be me in this situation and, you know, see where it takes me. And it's actually been a lot more fun than I've expected. And yeah, so I've actually been growing a lot more, because I've just been being me in a lot more situations. So that's been fun. I've actually grown hugely, because I've been figuring out where I'm at. So yeah, I would say I'm a little bit more of a different person than at the beginning of the season, even.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing about myself. It's hard for me to really peg, though, you know, what changes come from this, and because I've
right.
got
like what comes from aging and what comes from
what
our
comes
discussions.
From aging, what comes from our podcast, what comes from the 5 other podcasts I do,
yeah.
what comes from the 25 other podcasts I listen to, what comes from the
exactly.
15, 20 books that I'll read in the next 12
right.
months.
Right, because you know. we're growing, you know, we do all sorts of things to make ourselves grow. Yeah, and just you and I have conversations each morning, each night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, believe it or not, which is something that we should probably do, is just to record some of those conversations to possibly use in episodes like this, because I do think a lot of the good stuff that we talk about stems from those conversations.
And actually, I do think that might be something that we'll do in season 3 a little bit.
If anything, we'll just record the conversations, listen to them, and create episodes based around the conversation and things like that. Because yeah, I think there's so many factors that go into it, so I don't know where my growth comes from. But yeah, I feel like at this point in time, I've just turned myself into a huge sponge, and I'm just getting things, signals from everywhere.
Right.
And it's really, and what comes out is the new me.
Right.
And I have no idea where what came from.
Yeah.
So to speak, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So yeah.
Right. I think we're both the same way, but that's a good thing. At least,
no, I think that's an amazing thing.
At least we're absorbing it, and we're growing, and we're aware of it, because some people just talk and it all bounces off. And
the biggest thing I would say is that if what we just talked about, being a sponge and just soaking up everything around you, if you don't feel like you're doing that, give it a try once, because it rules, you know?
Yeah.
It's a positive, positive thing.
Right.
And you're going to learn so much about yourself. You're going to learn so much about other people. You're going to learn so much about life. It's just going to change your perspective on the world.
Right.
So
I think the biggest thing about you and I is that we really, really like to have deep conversations and go deep in whatever. And we don't like to do surface level conversations. We don't like it when people are just like, oh, how's the weather? How's this? How's... So I think that when we, you know, listen to a podcast, read a book, have a conversation, we will absorb a lot of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, there's days where we just don't. But I think that's why we will just absorb a lot. So I think that's why we will tend to grow, and because we like to grow, or we like to absorb all
and explore.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be a little bit before season 3, because we're going to be working on changing and all that. And Of course, we got a trip in there. But
yeah.
But yeah, so season 3 will be coming out on December 14th. So
okay.
So Eric's like, okay, so we got a little bit of time to plan. Okay, okay.
I'm just really shocked that she already had a date and everything planned out. So, okay, well, now we got some work to do, man. So, oh,
please, I'm not that unorganized. My goodness.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. So after this, I have to record a podcast and I have nothing organized for it. It's just, I just plug my computer in and I start talking. So, I mean...
No, I'm pretty good.
Try to use your imagination to think if you want to ever listen to that podcast. Could be a good thing for you. Could be a bad thing. So,
well, I mean, he at least plans the episodes. I see his notes here, his stack of notes.
Oh, no, I'm talking about my podcast. This is my soul podcast. Oh,
your book-selling podcast.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 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 Those are well-structured. The other podcasts are well-structured out, but.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, season 3 will be out on December 14th. I'm pretty excited about that. I actually even have some episodes already slightly in the works for that. I'm actually just super excited about season 3 already. So, you know, get this one listened to and just start planning for it, guys. So, yeah.
Hopefully there'll be a lot more. I mean, the thing I would describe is I think you'll see here a lot more of, I guess, our version of life hacks, just things that make our life better and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's actually going to be one of the episodes I do have, life hacks. So
yeah, there'll be a lot to come, hopefully.
But if you are looking for a podcast to listen to in the meantime, we have another podcast out there. You can actually find it on our website, stigmasandopenwounds.com. And our other podcast is SAOW Book Sounds Book Reviews. And that's where we talk about our favorite books that we have just read. I tend to read books that are mostly nonfiction, romance. I call it rom-coms.
She reads fiction, not nonfiction.
God damn it, I did it again.
She always says nonfiction.
I
think deep down she wants to read nonfiction, but she can't bring herself to it.
Because I want to escape in a fantasy. So yeah, I call my books rom-coms because that's kind of what they seem like, wouldn't you say, Eric?
I would call them romance novels that are written by good authors.
I like that.
So... they are very much romance novels, but they're actually good. They're not like...
steamy and
they're not like the Harlequin romance novels where...
he ripped her bodice off.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so...
so, and then Eric reads nonfiction, and they're like...
some pretty boring stuff.
Actually, the reviews always make them sound really good where I almost want to read them, but they're like... some of them are businessy, some of them are about finance, and some of them are even about some really cool stuff about, what was that really cool one that I wanted to read about the people who are irrational, about irrational people. That one I actually really want to read.
That's actually a big push. Like I'm pushing myself to more like happiness books, rationality books and stuff. Just trying to understand why people do the things they do, because I find that very fascinating, because I don't understand why people do some of the things they do.
So I don't know if you'll ever figure that one out, man.
So, well, and that's why there's experts out there writing tons and tons of books about this, because nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. But it just sheds a little more light on the way the human brain works. So I find it... I try to not be an angry person, so I try not to get angry at people for the things they do. I simply try to understand why they do the things that
that's a good idea. Think
that might anger me. So
I like that. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, also, if you would like to email us, we have an email at stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com, and we also have Instagram and Facebook.
And if people have ideas for things they want to hear us talk about,
totally,
you know
what I was going to say.
Send them our way, because we're willing to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Well, within reason.
Yep.
So we do have a clause in the anything terms that if it's just something that we just find vile and disgusting or inappropriate, we're not going to talk about it. So
yeah. So. But in a couple weeks, December 14th. Be on the lookout. Season 3 is coming your way. And we'll see you guys later.
Thanks, everybody.